I once saw the Queen's knickers.
Alam nang insisyo. Insisyo.
Oh my God! Yeah. Listen, it is going to be one hell of a show. Welcome to it. My name is PH of the Shady Podcast.
But it's true.
And you know, we haven't even started the show.
And I'm not even blushing.
Listen, we have broadcast royalty sitting and joining us today. Man, we have tons of stories we need to get through. She's done everything when it comes to broadcast. She was the first. You were the first person on TV, right? Or first person in South Africa?
Opening night.
On the SRE car.
I've been working at the BBC and the UK for years before you were born.
Yes. Of course. she's obviously done, like she said, she's had a show on BBC Radio. Was it radio? Correct?
BBC and television.
And television.
Loads of television.
She's seen the Queen's knickers. and so many more. Make some noise and show some love for Kate Turkington in the building.
The OG.
And once upon a time, I was a host of the worst game show in the history of television.
Okay.
Here in South Africa.
What was it called?
Pyramid.
Oh, I thought
Pyramid. Pyramid. And you won money, and the problem was there was a studio audience, and then there were all the aunties and uncles sitting to one side.
Yeah.
So we had to ask questions of the contestants. So the aunties and uncles would shout out the names, and we're trying to keep them quiet. So I had one lovely little old Zulu lady, and my question was, what's a wise bird that flies at night?
What's a wise bird that
and
flies
meanwhile,
at night?
Things are getting shouted from the wings.
From the audience.
And she says, a mosquito. Yeah. But there was a corollary to the story. Because one of my son-in-laws was headmaster of a very larny boarding school.
Yes.
And a boys' boarding school. And he was doing the rounds at night. And he heard one of the matrons who looked after the boys roaring with laughter. Mm. She called him and said, "You've got to see this woman," she said. He said, "That's my mother-in-law."
Oh, man. Firstly, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you
We know you booked all over the world, Auntie Kate. So,
I've just said to, haven't said it to you yet, but I've just said to PH, if I was 40 years younger, he would have had a chance. Not a chance.
I love that that comment came out of nowhere. I thought we starting the show. It's just like, you know what, PH.
PH, listen 40 years ago. Minus 40 years and we've been in trouble.
Probably a bit longer, actually.
Well, thank you. I feel.
But I've always had very good taste in men.
Thank you.
Have you all? Well, so we're here, Auntie Kate. You're a mother of four and a granny of nine.
Yes.
And a great granny yet or no?
No. And I keep saying to two of my grandchildren got married last year, so I got the girls to one side and I said, "Listen, time, I'm a great grandmama."
Yeah.
So one's running Comrade. Can you believe it? I'm a grandchild running Comrade. She said, "After Comrade," and the other one's doing an MBA, and he said, after that or something. I think to myself, yeah, you know, nowadays, sorry, I'm going into
let's go.
People have these goals and they set out their life goals and they do it step by step. It's not the way to do it. You know, I have ricocheted all my life from one
to another.
And just kept it moving.
I have never, ever made plans. And, you know, I'm very lucky. I interviewed the Dalai Lama twice, and the first time he said something, not his exact words, but I want you both and everybody to consider this. The past has gone.
Yes.
You learn from it, but it's gone. The future never happens. Mm. So, carpe diem, seize the present, do your best in the moment, and live for today.
Mm.
And I reckon that's very good
Advice. I like that you said that actually. I think I've also ricocheted. Especially, yeah. Well, when it comes to making children, like
yeah, you can tell your
grandkids, yo, like these things just happen.
My children, I must say, I was very young when I had the first two, not so young, but I did plan them.
Yeah.
In fact, the first one, my son was actually conceived in the back of a car in Paris.
Oh, wow. It's better than in the back of the car in Paris.
I know, he's not going to be watching this because he's a lawyer.
My God.
He's a very conservative lawyer, so I'm safe. I'm actually saying.
You know where he comes from.
It was his father. We weren't married. I think I was 20. My husband was 22. We'd just been on honeymoon to the south of France in a Jaguar XK120, which one of my old boyfriends had lent me.
Yeah.
And it was a bright blue car, kept breaking down. But here we are, these two kids driving through France in this open top Jaguar XK. And one French place we went to, I mean, it's a long time ago, they wouldn't let us share the same room because they thought we weren't married. We were too young.
Oh, yes.
Things have changed.
Yes. Things have changed, yeah. No, you can share rooms now with anyone.
Things have changed.
The ladies listening, Auntie Kate said in the back of a Jaguar in Paris with her husband.
Husband.
Not
please.
In the back of a Polo.
With the blesser. You met last night. Please.
Or a tour bus. Jaguar XK120.
So tell me more, Auntie Kate, about your beginnings in broadcasting.
Sure.
Specifically, your first appearance on television in South Africa, because I've seen clips on it. I remember it was...
Sure. Yeah. I really do have a superb memory. Mm. When you're old, one of the few good things about going old is you know what you're good at and you're not frightened to say so.
Yes.
Similarly, you know what you're bad at and you're not frightened to say so.
Sure.
And the other thing is when you're young, you want everybody to like you and make an impression. When you're old, you don't give a A tinker's cuss will be a polite word.
Yeah.
And I lived in Ireland.
Write that down.
Google.
A tinker's cuss. Yeah. It's a polite way of...
of not giving an F. Okay.
So... there was a program, I think it was the opening night in 1976, I think it was. I'd come from England, from the BBC, thought I was going to work at the SABC, walked into the SABC in those days, walked straight out again, of course, went to teach at Vitz. But I used to do freelance, and I was on a program called Galaxy.
It was
very posh, and it was arty. Mm-hmm. And I did a book review, and the SABC, the dons of the SABC, the mafia, said nobody will be interested in a book review. I said, well, let me try. Mm. Now, there were no cue cards, no auto cue. Mm. So I learned off by heart my book review, which was a book called Harry's Game by a very, very famous English spy writer called by Gerald. Oh, Seymour, Gerald, he's lovely. I've interviewed him a couple of times. And it was called Harry's Game. And I did this live book review to camera for 4 minutes. And Harry's Game sold out in South Africa.
Oh, lovely.
And he became a huge, not because of me, sold out.
But he went
everywhere.
On to become a huge author.
He must thank you.
And I'm hoping to interview him quite soon about his new one. Mm. He was a war correspondent.
What did your bosses at the SABC say once?
Well,
that
they weren't
happened?
My bosses, you see. I was
a freelancer.
So I was the commie down the road.
Yes.
And also, I was not quite the sort of person they were used to dealing with.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
So I would just go in and do my own thing and somehow survived.
When you did that first show, was Rian Kruiwagen already there?
Who was the newsreader who had the wig?
Rian Kruiwagen,
yes.
Yes. Oh, he was such a nice man. He was such a nice man.
I've met him, actually.
This is really?
To my knowledge, yes. Remember, he was used in a couple of advertising campaigns in recent years.
I thought of doing a segment in a podcast called I Thought They Were Dead. I think that would be quite
oh my god,
that wouldn't be offensive at all. Yeah. Like, oh, PA,
I must just add that 3 weeks ago, I was hot air ballooning in Turkey over Cappadocia. Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, Cappadocia,
but I'm in Istanbul on Good Friday, Easter.
Easter. Mm-hmm.
Now, Istanbul has 16 million people. It's one of the most densely populated
cities in the world.
And it was Easter Friday, so the Chinese were there in their phalanxes. They were tourists galore. So I'm on the Galata Bridge. The Galata Bridge spans the Bosphorus and it spans the Golden, the famous Golden Horn. A bit further down, the bridges span Europe and Asia.
Yes.
So we were never quite sure when we were in Europe, when we were in Asia. Anyway, I'm on the Galata Bridge Friday, Good Friday afternoon. Thousands of people and I'm making my way along with my daughter and some friends. And a big pair of arms come round me and said, Kate Turkington, I thought you were dead.
No, I'm not dead. I'm in Turkey.
It was an old student of mine, Fortuny Mazzoni, who owns a string of restaurants.
Mm.
And I gave him a first. He was a super. And the only reason I remember him is I gave him a first along with other people. Mm. He's tall, he's got a baby. He's got a baby face, like our producer, Shapiro. He's got a baby face and curly hair. And there we are. I get recognized the middle of Istanbul.
In the middle of thousands of people.
But he didn't say he'd heard my voice. Mm. So I do think I'm quite distinctive.
That broadcast swag.
100%.
How often do you travel, Auntie Kate?
A lot. This year I haven't done so much. You know, I can't even think where I've been this year. I've been in the Muslim Mara. I've been in Turkey. I do a lot of I write guidebooks.
Okay.
So I have just finished with a daughter and a couple of other writers, a definitive guide to South Africa. So as it's called FODORS, FODORS. If you meet Americans, they ask for your autograph. It's like the travel Bible for Americans and Europeans. So this, I've been writing for them for 25 years. So I get this request from New York, would I like to update the new photos? I said yes. So they said, well, as a senior writer, you can choose. I don't think they know how senior I am, actually. Anyway, so I said, I'm Mpumalanga. So, and my daughter also writes them. So we did the whole of London, Lowestein, Marla, Singita, Angala, we did all the safari stuff. And you know what was so good? This was November last year. Some of these camps, you know, they're totally out of the reach of us, me.
Yeah.
Like 40,000 per person per night.
Yes. I've seen one there.
But for a European or an American, when you think what you get, you know, like having been in Turkey, you ask for a glass of wine and they're trying to suppress alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah. It's a Muslim country,
150 mils of wine is about $500-600.
Jeez.
But, you know, here you ask for a glass of wine, you get a decent glass of wine. They get wonderful food. They've got great, they get the big five. They get personal attention, everything. And sorry, they were all filled with foreigners.
Yes,
isn't that wonderful? That South African tourism every single camp we went to, including some Kruger, the not so Lani ones, packed
with foreigners.
Absolutely. Packed with Russians. I love Russians, they can drink.
I've been to Russia a couple of times.
I love, you know, and I once saw Putin. I was in Moscow, standing on the sidewalk or whatever they call them in Russia, and the whole, you know, the
motorcade,
blue light brigade went past, and his car, huge armored tank
vehicle,
and here's this little man He looked like a little waxwork. He looked like a little Madame Tussauds sitting there. But that's the nearest I've been.
Yeah, just speaking. You can't get closer to him. Yeah. He's my favorite president in the world.
Really?
Putin. Yeah. I love Putin. I just feel like
I thought Trump was your favorite.
It's a KGB party.
Nah, you know what I admire about Putin is that, number one, first of all, he's been in power for many years.
Yes.
And he's the only president who runs a dictatorship where people's lives have actually improved, in my opinion.
Well, I probably take you up on that. It's like South Africa. It's like anywhere you go where there are old people, the old people will say, not me. The old people will say, oh, life isn't so good as they
as it used to be.
We got our pensions and we didn't have potholes. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, they say, and the old Russians say that. I was buying... I was trying to buy little shooter glasses, Red Square in Moscow, from an Afghan vet. He claimed he was an old man. He'd been a veteran in
Afghanistan.
Well, it went a bit wrong because I love bargaining. And I'm a brilliant bargainer. I'd leave them in tears. Anyway, so I'm bargaining with him, but he totally got the better of me. I said, I'm a pensioner. I'm a granny. I can't afford that. He said, lady, you're wearing a pair of Zeiss binoculars around your neck. Then I said to him, he made sure nobody was in earshot because you like Turkey. You say President Erdogan on the street, something bad, you're in prison in minutes.
It's like saying Voldemort.
I said to him, Putin, and this is a good few years ago now, and he thought for a moment, and he paused, and he said, I smell Stalin.
Stalin, oh, wow.
Oh, like he's Stalinist.
Interesting comment.
Yeah.
Interesting comment.
Yeah, from somebody who's lived there.
Sure.
You either rule in an autocracy or, but you know, Boris, and I was going to call you PH. PH sounds like a chemical compound. Anyway, PH.
I love this show.
We call him H. For sure.
H.
Anyway, you come back to South Africa after traveling from almost anywhere in the world, and you think, okay, let's say I was in Turkey. There's no free media. There's no...
controlled, yeah.
There are brilliant streets. There's no litter. Wonderful, cheap public transport. Everything works, but you don't have a free media or whatever. You come back to South Africa. We could sit now and say we think Cyril is terrible or good or whatever. We're not going to be clapped into prison.
Sure.
We're not going. And we forget, you don't because you're younger, but don't forget, our democracy is only 30 years old.
Yeah.
What did you know at 30? Nothing.
Not much. I'm still 30.
No, you thought you knew everything. Of course you did.
Sure.
Yeah.
But when you think about that, and we have got a working democracy, and when you say to Americans, we've got a government of national unity, they can't believe
it. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to them.
Never happen in America. Never. So we've got so much to be proud of, and travel makes you aware.
Very true.
Apart from the friendliness of the people, we've just been named the friendliest country in the world by one of those.
I think we paid for that one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think we bought that award.
I think we paid for that one,
Scotland
definitely.
Or England or Germany and walking along with my dog and I'd say, hello, hi.
Remember what Zimasa said? We had a guest on the show, Zim. He travels a lot and he said that something he's picked up or that he's noticed is that when he was flying back from whichever destination, and on the flight, there was a tourist seated next to a local. And the tourist was like, you know, what's South Africa like? What should I check out? Or whatever the context was. And this guy was like, oh.
Very negative.
Very negative. You know, he's like, oh, crime is so bad. You got to watch out. You can't walk around in Sandton. They'll steal your watch. And he said, South Africans have a very negative, put out a very negative image of our own country to foreigners.
Right?
But
know,
we are very friendly to foreigners, I've noticed when they're
here. Here's a bit of wisdom for you.
Yes.
You know, as they say, the grass is greener on the other side of the street.
Mm.
The grass is only as green as you make it.
Yeah, as you water it.
And if you're not happy with yourself, you won't be happy anywhere. I wouldn't live anywhere else in the world but South Africa. All my four children are here. All my nine grandchildren here. They've all travelled. Some of them have started businesses. Sure. Where else in the world can you start a business from scratch with no money? No money. It happened here. It happened where we speak. Nowhere. America, you'd never get a chance. Europe's too old, and you haven't been to Eton or Winchester. I love South Africa. I am the best ambassador in the world because I love it.
Yeah, we need to send you more places.
I don't bullshit. I really don't. I love South Africa and I love South Africans. One of my children's South African. Two were born in Nigeria. One was born in Ireland and one was born in South Africa.
South Africa. So, PH must cancel his plans to immigrate.
No. What do you mean? I was going to move to Dubai, but clearly that's not.
Are you not going anymore?
No.
You were supposed to move to Dubai and set up for us.
Don't mention Dubai. What's Dubai wrong with you? Terrible. I hate Dubai.
Have you been to Dubai as well?
I hate Dubai. Shh. I once went as a guest of the Tourism Association. This is many moons ago. And I was given as a guide. A minor scion of Emirati royalties. No such thing as royalty in the Gulf States. Anyway.
Hey, be
so
careful, PHS, who live there.
White crisp press robe. And they gave me a car with an Indian driver. The Emirati would not get into that car.
Because of the driver?
Because there was an Indian driver. And I must tell you, I got the best compliment in my entire life from this Emirati. On the last night, he took me out to the creek. It's all phony. There's no history, nothing. It's all money. He took me out to the phony creek and we're sitting there. And I'm having a whiskey. I mean, he, of course, in public, they don't drink.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not drinking. And he looks deep into my eyes and he said, "You're not a bit like my mother." I think that was the best compliment.
Oh my God! Even though you don't know his mother,
you could imagine. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Tell me, going back into broadcast.
Yes.
They always say people belong to Hall of Fame, but you were actually inducted into the MTN Hall of Fame, right?
Yes.
I've never won an award there. Who judges that nonsense?
Yeah. Is there anything that sticks out for you besides, you know, being in your radio career, besides being part of the Hall of Fame, for MTN Hall of Fame? Is there anything else?
In what way, Pete?
I'm just saying, was there a favorite, is there an accolade that you were ever given, or is there a favorite interview
that meant something
to you? Something that really stuck.
Well, I must say, I'm not into woo-woo stuff, and I'm a happy non-believer, but two people I interviewed, the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu.
Yes.
And I'm not into auras, but if ever there was an aura of kind of goodness about
a person,
somebody,
yeah.
they were there. There was just something.
Okay.
About, and I once interviewed, Gareth will remember this, he was my producer. I interviewed a guy in America called Fred Phelps.
Oh, not
and
Michael
he
Phelps.
Was an absolute racist right wing before MAGA was ever thought of.
Sure.
And
KKK.
He used to go to the, he was also avidly against homosexuality and used to go to all the funerals of the soldiers who've been killed in Iraq or wherever there was a war going on and boycott them and make dreadful comments. And Gareth got him on as a guest on my show. And in fact, they passed a law. There's a Fred Phelps law. They actually passed a law about him finally banning him. Anyway, I was trying to be nice, but I think he picked out that I wasn't perhaps.
Yeah, you weren't. Yeah. You were just
so
being phony.
He put a curse on me. He put the, which is still going, the Turkington curse on me. And the, as my children say, the very next day, the 702 transmitter went down. But again, there was an adjunct to the show, because a bit later on, I interviewed Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, of course, came from Southern California.
And he had gold lifted chain. The curse.
He had gold chains, on the third day. Grey silk suit. Hmm. And all his acolytes came into the studio with him. And I got on very well with it. It was a call-in show. And somebody asked him about the Virgin Mary. What did your mother talk to you about? And he said, there are some things I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't answer. And one of the listeners, you know, 702 listeners were so super bright. One of them phoned in and said, one of the things you don't know is you're stark staring mad.
Yeah.
But I got an email the next day, and he made me an honorary angel.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank Jesus for that one.
He lifted the curse,
to an
obviously.
Honorary angel. Yeah. There you are.
Yes. You spent you, some time at 702, and obviously, for those of you who don't know, that's where Gareth Cliff actually started.
Yes.
In the game.
Yeah.
You know, I, you can speak to this, but I was on and I was speaking in an interview about. I started listening to 702 when I first moved to Johannesburg.
Yes.
And I was always, it's where I would get a lot of my opinions informed. I felt like it was the place you could go to find the most intelligent broadcasters who gave a vast, sort of like a very wide array of
and
opinions.
And you know, in 20 years of doing my Believe It or Not show, nobody ever said to me, do this, don't do that. Mm. It was total cock.
It was total just
and
Kate.
It was live. It wasn't recorded or pre-recorded. Yeah. It was live.
I feel like, I don't know, you know, you've been through every medium of broadcast.
Yeah.
What do you think of the modern talk radio landscape? Like, because I feel like people are not learning.
I listen. I've been listening to podcasts now for 3 or 4 years. Mm. Well, the answer is I can't really answer that because I get all my news on my phone.
Mm.
Every morning I do BBC, New York Times, News 24. sorry about that.
Yeah, what
News
the hell?
News 24. And then I do the Daily Telegraph. So I do the Daily Telegraph's quite right wing, but they have super sports, arts and sports, film, TV critics. Sure. And I do the crossword. I do the critics.
So crossword. Do you feel there's still a place for platforms like that? I'm talking now because young broadcasters you know, like they need a direction.
It's an interesting question that, because as you know, in Africa, last census showed more people listen to the radio and so more people consume their news through
the radio
in South Africa than any other medium. So it does have an enormous part to play. I think particularly in rural areas where perhaps people haven't got Wi-Fi and can't get
smartphones. Yeah.
So I think there is, and I travel quite a lot. Last 3-4 years I've been to, I actually do media training. I work with companies. I've been in Nigeria, Ghana, Tanzania, Uganda, Ethiopia, Lesotho, Botswana, the list goes on. And still, in those countries, radio is more powerful than
any other medium.
I think in South Africa, I don't know, this is obviously a very subjective opinion. I think radio in South Africa has lost a lot of its potency. Mm. You've still got wonderful people. You've got wonderful broadcasters.
No, Auntie Kate, I would never say that everyone on radio is shit. That's not what I'm saying.
But
what I'm saying is I do think that the standard has gone down. And where I feel like because I first fell in love with radio in 2008. And again, I did a graveyard show on a weekend and I was allowed to come in there and do whatever the fuck I want. I even featured on a pornography website in a video that
went. Doing what?
Talking in the background.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I had,
No.
There, I thought we were going to get a full front.
I had a caller who called me and he was like, Waras, I just left whatever club. I used to have this thing, call in when you leave a club.
I've never talked to anybody from a porn side before.
Well, welcome.
Are you well endowed?
Well, fortunately, I didn't have to show that on the
call.
Oh, my
call. God.
And he called me and he said, we're having an orgy. It's going to be great. And we are having this conversation, obviously, because I'm just listening to him in the headphones. I went along with it. I was like, yo, what's happening now? And he's like, man, I've got this one bent over now and this one's doing that. And when the video released on that website, there was Waras on a speaker in the background.
Talking.
And then the guy's walking around the room and he's like, yeah, this one is bending over now. There was somebody bending. You know, and moments like that were created because we were allowed the freedom to do whatever we wanted.
One day you'll be telling your grandpa, is it true you were on the porn site? They won't believe me. I'll have to start
an OnlyFans.
Sorry about your little porn setup there.
Well, at least now you've met a porn star, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Beat that. Porn
website. Oh, no porn site on my end.
PH has a story to beat that. He was in Monaco.
Oh. I was in Monaco, when was it? Last year.
Year before last.
No, it was last year.
Was it last year?
Last year.
What for?
The Grand Prix.
Trangles.
The Grand Prix, the Monaco Grand Prix.
Okay.
And
I was once in a lift in the casino in Monte Carlo, and I had two small children with me. And again, same thing. You know, if you teach at Vitz for over 24 years, and I was head of television, being on radio, being on television, I'm in a lift in the casino in Monaco, that lovely old casino.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said to me, it's Kate Turkington.
Oh, wow.
My youngest daughter pulled my sleeve, said, Mum, you're world famous.
You're a superstar.
Well, Monaco, again, a very contrived place.
Yeah, very interesting.
Very contrived.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Yeah.
But
I was there and I had fun. I was there for the Grand Prix, but at the end of the night, the fun that I wanted to have came at a very expensive price.
Yeah. He had fun. He had chats the whole night at the bar.
Very expensive. So much like everything in Monaco, so was the price of
Nice.
But it's always big.
So was the price.
It's always.
But it was a Colombian lady. I didn't go through with it because I'm not stupid. But yeah, she was charging me what?
800 euros.
800 euros. For an hour.
Mm. Well, he thought she just
did
liked
you take
him.
No, I thought she liked me. We were chatting the whole night.
That's
she wasted his night. He could have found something else.
And then she was like, 800 euros for 1 hour. I was like, whoa, no.
Is that just the foreplay?
It sounded like just the foreplay. Oh, my God. Okay, so we obviously have a show here where there's a few features we have.
Yeah.
So we told you about Mbuzi. Who's going to be coming in later, the GOAT. But we also have...
I was going to ask, what is your knowledge of pop culture topics? Do you read about stuff?
Okay.
Because I'm sure a lot of it doesn't interest you.
Memory.
Yes.
And I can talk about anything in the world for 3 minutes.
Okay.
Then I change the subject. Pop culture, because of teenagers, and I'm not a Swiftie or... I've got some...
Knowledge, okay.
I'm more into the Ed Sheeran ballad kind of.
Gotcha. Okay. Have you heard of P. Diddy, Auntie Kate?
Yes.
Have you been one?
Of course I have. And I'm following this trial.
Are you following the trial? Wonderful.
So
I've watched the video of him pulling her along the corridor.
Yeah, that
so
was heavy.
I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but I was at one of his houses.
Were you? No. I'm
I didn't see the free corpse.
Look, the guy is, you know, one shouldn't condemn him because we don't know what's fake news and what
yes.
isn't.
Good
yes.
point.
But
good point,
it doesn't look good for him. And you know, I've met and interviewed.
Look here. That's P. Diddy. That's Black Coffee. That is P.A.
I'm impressed. So you weren't in one of those orgies?
No, I wasn't in any of the orgies. Okay. I was not in any of the orgies. None of that.
But you know, seriously, I've met and interviewed so many celebs, famous people, some on the way up, some on the way down, and I have seen how celebrity destroys people at first. Mm. At first,
it's a big drug.
And you know, especially years ago, now, you know, there's coaching and they have shrinks and whatever. Yes. But in the particularly years ago, particularly with the footballers and the cricketers and the sports stars, they had no media training. They had no training. And suddenly, I once trained Kaiser Chiefs, let me tell you.
Well, they need you again.
They need you again.
No, not for football. They get all this adulation, they get all this money, they get, they have no privacy left.
Nothing.
It's a very, very tough, a tough life. Mm. And they got no, and I mean, look at Liam, whatever his name is.
Yes, One Direction.
One Direction. He hanged himself. What happened?
He killed himself.
Yes, it's so.
And
so,
look at,
so
I've actually been following Justin Bieber recently. Mm. He seems to be in a downward spiral also, sort of like,
it
appears as though he's been driven mad by fame.
Yeah.
Sure.
And all these stories that are coming out, you know, a lot of the time I think the media also brainwashes and distracts us.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, he actually is in this financial ruin where he made $1 billion, but he actually owes people, whatever, 200 million. And I'm like, he's not giving me signs that he's going through financial crisis. He's giving me signs that fame has driven him mad and he's completely unraveling. You know, he has a 2-year spout where he's fine and then he unravels.
On fame. Mm. You've got Paul McCartney in his 80s, whom I interviewed when he was in his 20s.
The Beatles,
You've got Paul McCartney at 80, still doing gigs. You've got
Mick Jagger.
Yeah, I mean,
still
so
doing
many.
Gigs and marrying 20 years.
I was very bad
who's
at names.
Mick Jagger,
the,
Rolling Stone.
Who's the American? Looks a bit like a wrinkled prune, but is wonderful.
Bob Dylan.
Born in the USA.
Bob Dylan.
I'm born in the
USA. Not Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen,
yes.
Bruce Springsteen, you know, they've still want to.
They still want to do world tours and perform.
They still want to perform. But I've just finished a book about Saul Kirshner, who was, I mean, he was amazing. He was a genius. He was also difficult, shall we say.
Mm.
But when he started that Sun City, I saw them all. Frank Sinatra came, Elton John came. He brought all those big
stages,
very in with the mafia and everything. But all those, Liza Minnelli, he brought all those huge stars to, what was it called?
The Lost City.
Palace.
You see, and they go on too long, so many of them, too. I mean, I haven't watched a Paul McCartney concert. I don't know what he's doing now,
yeah.
I think when you go to a concert, I went very different. Sunday night, I went to Last Night at the Proms at Linda Auditorium with Richard Cott. Richard Cott, maestro performer. He had an audience of 8,000 jumping up and down, clapping our hands, blowing into paper bags. Mm. I mean, you can't beat a Joburg. You can't beat a Joburg audience when they're in Fulco waving our South African flags.
Have you been to a concert at FNB Stadium yet?
Yes. Oh.
No, reminding you of a certain story.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes. Reminding you of a certain
and I'm
story.
I'm going to blush.
You're blushing already?
You were backstage with Chris Brown.
I'm going to blush. And I don't often blush.
You were backstage with who?
You remember when the World Cup was?
2010.
Well, I got tickets. I'm a very lucky person. I got tickets for the opening in the draw. And the closing night. And one other when Spain was playing.
Spain, yes, when you
played Spain. I can't remember who Spain was playing. So three granny girlfriends and I tarted ourselves all up in Spanish hats and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And off we go. And we'd had a drop or two.
Yes.
And we're sitting in the bleachers. And there are these three gorgeous guys sitting next to us talking quietly. And we began perving about them. We're saying, oh, my God, he is gorgeous. Anyway, it got a bit graphic.
Oh.
And finally, I turned around to the one. I said, "And where are you from?" Mm-hmm. Said Benoni. I'm still blushing.
Oh my god.
They never let on the one Spanish.
From Barcelona.
Oh my god.
I'm blushing.
Benoni, not Barcelona. Benoni.
Oh my
days. That is hilarious.
Oh wow.
I can imagine.
When you've been alive as long as I have, you have stories. Oh, and maybe let's just tell you this one.
Uh-huh.
One of my grandsons, who's a game ranger, he's just been home on leave. And we were sitting talking. He's a lovely bloke. Mm. And I said to him, "You know, Stephen, we are on the cusp of history at this moment in time. The world is changing. Global focuses are changing.
100%.
We are on the cusp of history. You remember that?" So he looked at me and said, "Granny, you've been on the cusp of history for years. World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, the Desert Storm. The Cold War, men on the moon, JF Kennedy being shot, the Berlin Wall coming down, of apartheid, Nelson Mandela. It's true.
A new millennium.
But this is why I'm an optimist, because human beings are very resilient. And the world, I have lived through
a lot,
so much.
Yes.
And one survives and one gets on and one manages.
Yes. I was actually going to ask that, having lived through all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know, from your experience, I feel like people sometimes overthink situations. It's like Warwick, as a 31-year-old virile male, I'm like, could things be worse?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas I don't have that experience.
As they always are. Here's a bit of history for you. Once a teacher, always a teacher. The Korean War, at the end of World War II, when the Allies divided up the world, you know, this is East Berlin, this is West Berlin, all the stuff we know, they divided up Korea. So they gave North Korea to the Chinese and South Korea to the West. And then the Chinese got a bit, you know, they didn't like this, and they started a war going. And there was a very famous, infamous American general called General MacArthur, and he was poster boy American, cigar ticketee. So he went into North Korea with my late brother-in-law, fought in that war. He was a professional soldier. The Americans went into North Korea and they won quite a lot of battles. So now General MacArthur is even more of a poster boy. Then the Chinese started fighting back, and eventually the war raged back and forth, but eventually the Chinese won. And MacArthur said to President Truman, Truman was the American president at the time, he said, "Let's use the atom bomb. We've used it on Hiroshima. We used it on Nagasaki. Let's use the atom bomb. Let's finish the Chinese." This was in the 50s. To his eternal credit, Truman said no, and he sacked MacArthur for insubordination. But that's how close we were in the 1950s to a nuclear war. And it's been going
back
on
back and forth since.
Ever since.
Well, we're close to one now because Russia.
Yes, it won't happen.
I don't think it'll happen
it
either.
Yeah, but in this day and age, no.
I find it interesting when you read about it.
Yes.
You read about it in a context that this is imminent. Like Russia is going to, if Ukraine doesn't surrender, Russia is going to launch a nuclear attack. If the West doesn't back off, Russia is going to bomb every major city in the world. And I just don't see that happening, because how does that benefit Russia?
I was at Hiroshima and the most, it's very understated, the whole museum. And the most poignant thing there, it's an open air museum and indoor, is a step. It's just a step. And there's a shadow on the step. And it's where somebody was obliterated into that step.
Wow.
That's all that remains of that person. A shadow on a step.
A shadow on a step. We don't know who it was, obviously.
That's
insane, though.
It can't happen. It can't happen again.
Mm.
It can't. Mm. I think people are too sensible. I hope. I think so.
I think Putin is too sensible. I think he gets a bad rep. I honestly, like, he just, every time I watch him speak and I see a speech of his, I think to myself, this guy is not the guy.
Sure. And he also doesn't have the Russian people behind him. Mm. On my travels, I've met quite a few Russian people. They're quite quiet. But one of them, I met a young woman, spoke very good English. She's just on her master's in Dublin. She spoke English with an Irish accent. And I tried to get her on one side because they're very canny about what they say. But she said, I'm so terrified, she said, of the war. I said, what do you think of the war? Because I have a 20-year-old brother at university.
Mm.
And she could see he was going to be conscripted.
Conscripted into the army.
There's that kind of fatigue of the war among so many people who, you know, if you've been through a war and you've lost brothers and husbands and uncles.
And especially when they've had to fight because you're forced or you've gone to jail.
Exactly. So I'm very confident.
Optimistic.
Or I'll be a shadow on the wall.
No, you won't be.
We definitely hope you won't be that.
You'll be in South Africa. We safe here. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, that is so true. You sometimes think not only are we in the best country in the world, we're probably, touch wood, in the safest.
Yeah, we're the furthest away from.
But I'm so want to see what's going to come out of the Ramaphosa.
Yes, I was going to ask you what advice do you have for President Ramaphosa going in?
Be a bit of an arse licker.
What?
Yes.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
That's
humble yourself.
Because you get right-wing Americans saying, if South Africa's not our friend, we're not your friend.
Mm.
We're your enemy.
Mm.
Have you read? You must read. There's a movie. I haven't seen it. J.D. Vance. They call him Vance. They don't call him Vance. The Vice President's
Hillbilly
Elegy.
Yeah. Yes.
I've just read that book. It so opened my eyes. You know, in a nutshell, you know, I'm sorry. Once a teacher, always a teacher.
Yes, yes.
That whole eastern side of America, the Appalachians, from below New York down to the Carolinas, that's where Big Pharma targeted to sell the opioids. Why? Mm. Because coal mines, people have got lung disease, they've got pain.
Yeah, people are inclined to take medications.
And Big Pharma, the Sackers, deliberately targeted
that
area.
The steel mills closed down, so there's now no job. So as he says in his book, his mother was a drug addict.
Mm.
He was in a different house, home, every 3 months with a different man. His siblings were drug addicts or alcoholics. And then this old rootin' tootin' shooting granny got hold of him and said, the only way you get out of this, my boy, is you work. You work.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and I'm not condoning anything, but when there's that whole swathe of America with people with no jobs and whatever, I can see somebody saying, why are we feeding 3 million Africans when we've got 3 million
Americans?
As I say, I'm not condoning that.
Even though those Americans are starving as a result of...
If you're a big, powerful, successful country, you have a moral right.
Obligation,
A moral obligation. But it does give you a clue. He was super bright. He won a scholarship to Yale and whatever. But it does show you why perhaps middle America voted
for Trump.
Oh, and really last thing. Not when I was on my travels during the guy meeting a lot of Americans, it was just after President Trump was elected. And I expressed some surprise at this to these Americans. And they said, they were very well read, very well informed. They said, you know what? America's a democracy. We have free and fair elections, and we voted for President Trump. South Africa, you're a democracy. You have free and fair elections, and you voted for Jacob Zuma.
Mm.
is it, Lisa? Answer that.
It's the Rust Belt.
Answer
the...
that.
Sure.
Answer that.
He was the popular. He was the, what do they call it in America? The popular vote.
Popular vote.
I can tell Jacob Zuma. Something about him.
Yeah.
Have you had Shapiro on the show without the shower? No. Over his head.
Oh, it's the cartoonist.
I think of the shower.
Yeah. he immortalized that image in every cartoon that he draws.
But then you go shower, through.
Yeah.
And just maybe another thing. I'm just thinking of this now. Somebody said to him, it may have been a grandchild, teenager, somebody young said to me recently, Granny, when you were growing up, you had world leaders you could look up to and whatever. He said to me, at 13 years old, he said to me, Granny, there's nobody in the world now I can really look up to.
Sure.
We're not talking about sporting stars or whatever, but
figures
political
public,
figures or whatever. He said, Granny, I can't think of anybody.
That's actually true.
Can you?
Putin.
Ah, besides presidents, okay. man, besides okay. political. There's no Desmond Tutus.
I can't think of anybody. Yeah.
Look, you
not
certainly, I would say the ones that we see the most are the worst. So your Keir Starmers, your Emmanuel Macrons, your Justin Trudeaus, these are the people who populate the media. I think they're all fucking useless. I don't know why.
And I don't know Keir Starmer, and I don't vote. He did. He was a pro bono human rights lawyer.
Yes,
that's
before.
Why he got knighted. Mm. So he did. He did work. He did good work. So he's not a Boris Johnson.
He's not a nobody from
he's
nowhere.
He's not a puffed up person. He did do sterling
But I think
work.
Something you said earlier about power. You know, power and
of
celebrity. I think
is.
A lot of our political leaders now are not
Chase
just
that.
Political leaders. They are also really famous. They're sort of chasing fame. And I don't
failing.
Know if the fame is corrupting
failing.
Them. Yes, failing dismally. But it's what we have. These are the people that we are given. They've got entire teams that work on their image and their delivery
exactly.
and their media training. So you are less of a political leader applying policies to help people and more of a figurehead that needs to look, talk, and act a certain way so that you can sustain your career.
Exactly.
And that's Keir Starmer. It's like, this is my backstory, and now I'm this guy. Actually, I like J.D. Vance. I haven't read his book, but I've seen his story.
I disliked him intensely. I just didn't like the look of him.
I just don't like how he
now
looks.
I've read that book. I think I begin to understand where he's come from. He's also very strong on the church, you know, because the church was all those people had.
Oh, yes.
Not like South Africa and other countries
True.
In Africa.
Yes. People turned to
Ghana,
religion. Yeah.
They had more Christian churches than any other countries in the world. And I was once driving from Accra to Kumasi, which is on the coast. It's about like going from here to Durbs, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I wrote them down in my notebook, 210 different churches. Church
what?
Of Our Lady at the Resurrection, Church of St. Church of. And I thought about starting a church at one stage.
Oh, you should.
I've thought about the church.
You should. You'll make a lot of money.
The Church of the Cosmic Consciousness. Good name, CCC.
CCC. Triple C.
I put it on the shelf. Gareth was going to be in it. He was going to be. He was going to be the the bishop or something.
Imagine.
But you know, having said all that, I sat and watched with a whole group of friends the Pope being declared. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not anything. But that moment when he actually stepped onto the balcony,
the new Pope,
very, very moving. Mm. I thought, we don't know the man. He looks good. His credentials look good.
Yeah.
But I thought it was like a really good, well, maybe it's a bad analogy, a really super game of sport, a tennis final or a rugby final or something. It
Lifting
united
the
world.
Yes.
Whether you were Catholic or not, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It wasn't
It was
crucial.
Like the trophy presentation.
He's a leader of what? Mm. Over a billion.
Catholics.
A billion people or something.
And tell me, how many popes have you seen in your lifetime, Auntie Kate?
I've been blessed by two.
Mm.
standing in St. Peter's Square with millions of other people, and Pope John and Pope Pius. I mean, miles away in the balcony, you know, you could you could see
you didn't have your binoculars.
See these little figures. And my husband came. He was also a total non-believer. Mm. He came from a very staunch Protestant family in the north of Ireland. Okay. When we got blessed by the Pope, he was in the army. He was in the Royal Irish Fusiliers. And he said, oh, my God, if my father could see me now wearing a tie of the Royal Irish Fusiliers being blessed by a Catholic Pope, he'd shoot me.
Auntie Kate, so you are starting a podcast here on the Real Network, I'm
so
told.
I'm so thrilled.
Yes. tell us about your podcast. What can we expect? More stories, please.
No stories. Yes. No, the stories are safe. Podcasts are going to be like the whole of my life. They're about anything and everything.
Yes.
I will interview people I find interesting. Mm. People, maybe authors, maybe sports stars. You know, this is one of the useful things about being so old, because of my name, people will
come
through.
Will come, yes, definitely.
So, absolutely, everybody and anybody, I hope,
and the ones
and
you thought were dead,
tell some stories.
Mm. Yeah. I'll say, and the ones that you thought they were dead, those ones as well.
Not retelling this is a one-off. This is a one-off.
This is a special edition.
I have so many stories.
Yes,
sure.
No,
so it's
going to
be exciting.
And in terms of the medium, just for young broadcasters out there, like I said, you've been through every medium of broadcast. What do you think of podcasting now and podcasting heading into the future? Because I've lectured at Boston Media House on occasion. And, I mean, people come there to study radio.
Radio or broadcast,
it's offered as a course, you know. Like, and my thing is, I just feel like, you know, the young kids need to start thinking of other mediums
besides radio.
Besides radio. Not that, as you said, not that I think radio is completely dead. I just think it's very limited in terms of space. And if the internet is there, maybe that's where you should be broadcasting. What would you say, having been through all mediums, to young broadcasters out there?
I think go the podcast way. But my teenage grandchildren, I have grandchildren from 34 to 13, they listen to podcasts. They're on their way to school. They have to get a lift or something. They're listening to mum's podcast or whatever. I think the beauty of it is it's you and the podcast.
The listener.
It's you and me, babe. It's you and me, and we're listening and we're talking. And if we suddenly crash our car, if we rear end the car in front of us, well, we can pick up the podcast
later,
in the evening.
On demand,
it's the freedom. I think that's what I'm saying. It's the freedom
that
a podcast gives
you
to listen when, how you like. And also to get on WhatsApp or Instagram or something and say to friends, you've got to listen to
this podcast.
And
that's how the word spreads,
because that's so powerful. It's like television series.
Yes.
You watch and you say, well, don't, you know, I can't watch rubbish, but watch this. Or
watch the Kardashians.
never. I'm proud to say that I've never. I've seen pictures of the famous surgical bum.
BBL.
But No, I'm a bit of an intellectual snob. I do want to talk to people who are interesting.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And, you know, everybody has a story. You meet new people. You've got a story. I don't know what your story is, PH. You've got a story. Everybody's got a story.
Mm.
And nobody goes through life perfect. You know, sometimes you meet these couples. We've never had a bad word, have we?
Never had a fight.
Come off it. We've all been through bad stuff. We've been through good stuff. And you know, one of the good things about growing old is you do get very wise.
Yeah,
none of my family will believe this. I mean, but you actually do get a lot of wisdom. And the great thing is your children don't listen to you. They never listen to you. I mean, yeah. If you said so and so, they're going to hear, but your grandchildren.
Ah, yes.
So I would say to one of them, get rid of her. She's awful. She's awful. Get rid of her. And they listen to you. Most of the time. Haven't had any miss. Two of them are married. Gorgeous people. Yeah. So far, so good. Yeah. So far, so good.
Touch wood.
In this video, it's called WhatsApp Leaks.
Okay.
So essentially, somebody will WhatsApp us and say, look, this is the situation I found on my boyfriend's phone, my girlfriend's phone, my boss's phone. What advice do you have for me in this situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Get a life.
The person.
Get a life.
Get a life.
It hasn't played yet. Listen. Okay. So okay. Boozy is the character that executes it. Okay, let's go on Boozy.
Hey, this Caucasian one. How do you switch the aircon off?
What's up, everybody? Oh, it's so cold, bro. Winter. What? Huh? I went out. Suga, you don't know what you're talking about. Check this out. I bought this Instagram account with 200,000 followers. I thought it scored big. First DM opens. It's a sugar daddy fight over a BBL deposit. You get it, right? Upagile, dog. Turns out the account belonged to a low-key celebrity side chick. Now I'm getting legal threats, news, and debt collectors. How do I return this cursed account?
Hey, I'm a country burger. Come take this thing of yours, Wena. Hey, sugar.
Ah. Or Instagram. Right.
So, yeah. I've got one comment.
Yes.
Epic fail.
Well, there you had it, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's all I say.
Sorry. That's my verdict.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think you've answered it, really. It's an epic fail.
Epic fail. You're an idiot.
You're fucked.
Sorry.
This person...
And Miss Piggy, not as good as Miss Piggy in the old Muppets.
Hey, Shmoozy, are you taking notes there?
Did you take notes?
But, do you know what? Mm. Yeah. E for effort.
E for effort. Well, there you go.
Uzuile Mbuzi.
Did you hear Mbuzi?
Got it.
Anyways, all right. I think we're going to wrap it up.
Shame.
It's
shame.
Fine.
Shame. The sheep. Shame.
Kate,
we're planning
you.
On slaughtering him.
Kate, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much.
And when does your show start?
Yes, we're going to get into the show now. Yeah.
In June. I'm not quite sure of the start date, but everybody will know when it does start. And I won't have a pig puppet to tell you when it's going to.
Catching strays, yeah.
So hold on, and it's just going to be called The Kate Turkington Show.
Love it.
You know what I've always wanted? What? A name that I could just name my show after. Kate Turkington is like...
You've got half of a name. Yeah.
No, like if I could have the Warwick Stock Show, that would be so...
Well, when you're as old as me,
maybe.
It will happen.
But now we'll take your nickname.
It will happen. So,
you know what I mean? Like if you could just name your show after your name, like if your name was
the Trevor
Jake
Noah,
Steele.
The Trevor Noah Show.
Trevor Noah is a cuck name. But like
what
Jake Steele.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Okay. Gareth the Gareth Cliff Show.
He's always called it that. All his shows have been Gareth Cliff on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Roger Good.
Sure.
I don't know, like in the beginning, because you know when you start, you think of a cool name and you're like, hey, this is going to be my name. Then you kind of stuck with that name. Imagine if I'd done a radio show at 3 a.m.
The Warwick Stock Show.
The Last Round with Warwick Stock.
Yeah.
Green whack, bro.
It doesn't trip off
it
the tongue.
It doesn't trip off the tongue. Who named me?
Change your name if you want. No, you can't. Because then, no, I like your name. It's a good name.
Warwick Stock.
It's a good name.
Doesn't,
it's a good name.
It doesn't
it's
live
real.
Up to the name, though, unfortunately.
It's real. And I like the beard, too. It's very, very... Not so sure about the tattoos, but I like the beard.
You're catching smoke. Yeah, boss.
Kate, thank you very much. Looking forward to the show that's coming. And we're excited. Hopefully we'll be guests.
Come and be my guest.
Yeah, we'll be guests on the show. We'll be guests on the show.
Then ask us questions.
Yes. Okay. We're looking forward to that.
But, and thanks to Shapiso.
Getsy.
I always get names wrong.
What's your real name? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks to him. But yeah, thank you very much for your time once again. And we will see you on the screens very soon.
Welcome to the real
welcome
network.
Welcome to our network and welcome to the family. We're looking forward to it. But yeah, we are out of here. Do you have anything to say, my brother?
No, back again next week, same time, same place. Catch the Kate Turkington show right here, Kate, the real network.
Hold on. Hold June. On. Kate, this lovely man over here has a saying that we need to all say together.
Yes. The saying is, take it easy. And if it's easy, take it home.
Love it. Love it. Or take it easy. If it's easy, don't do it.
Don't do it. Yes. Yes.
Well done.
That's the new one. That's the new one. So
I felt like it was irresponsible because, like, in 2025, you know, you could take it easy, and if it's easy, take it home. 10 years ago.
Does anybody ever take it easy these days?
Nah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Nah. It'll never be easy. But don't take it home.
Don't
regardless.
Take it home. Don't take it home. Don't take it home.
They'll charge you money in the morning.
Take it home, but if it's easy.
No, leave it.
He tried to take it easy, take it home, and it told him 800 euros.
And I was supposed to go back to Monaco this week.
It's a nice thing. Nice.
No, no, no. He started it, but yeah.
Yeah, I started it a long time ago, you know, in friendlier
You're
days.
You're much too young to say that. You're just a slip of a boy still.
I was 18 when I started it, so it's a while ago now.
We are out of here. Thank you very much. Look forward to the Kate Turkington show right here on the Real Network. But we'll be back same time, same place next week. It's called The Shady Podcast. Like, subscribe, share, comment, do what you need to do. Send it to your grandma if you have to. But yeah, we'll see you again next week. We're out.